So, brethren, we are, excuse me, picking up in Revelation, the seventh chapter. We have progressed and started our considerations of verses 4 through 8. Those who are sealed in their foreheads. And let's see. Ruth, can you read those verses for us, please? Ruth 7:4-8.
And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000.
Okay, you have any opening comments on this, Ruth?
Well, of course, we're discussing the sealing, but I have a reprint, 4654, that the 144,000 were originally intended to be of the Jewish tribes. And so that's where it's one of the places we get that from. And so those who are grafted in after the Jewish olive tree branches were cut off, those that were grafted in are considered spiritual Jews of these 12 tribes. Over.
Okay, very good. So just to restate that point, we think it's 144,000 spiritual Israelites, those who have circumcision of heart. And as Ruth brings out from that reprint in Romans 11, we're all familiar with the olive tree, that represented the root of the Abrahamic promise. That natural Israel, the natural seed of Abraham, had the first opportunity to become the spiritual seed at the first advent when Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And indeed, our 12 apostles were natural Jews, natural seed, but they became spiritual seed, as it were. They transferred from the law covenant arrangement into the grace covenant of sacrifice arrangement. Then, as brought out, because there were not enough of the natural seed who accepted the opportunity to become the spiritual seed, natural Israel was cut off for a time. And what that allowed was for Gentiles who would become spiritual Israelites to be grafted into the root of the Abrahamic promise, to become part of the spiritual seed of Abraham as the stars of heaven. And until all of the spiritual seed, the 144,000, are completed, the natural seed will not then have its sin taken away, as brought out in Romans 11. But after the 144,000 are completed, the promised seed is complete, the Isaac class is complete, the spiritual seed, the spiritual Israelites are all found, then the natural seed will receive the blessing. Their sin will be removed, and they'll have the privileges of being given the first opportunities in the peaceable kingdom. So we're all familiar with that. These have all been our previous studies. But what this helps us with is understanding this aspect of being spiritual Israelites. Last week, we read in Romans 2, verses 28 and 29, about not all the Jews were Jews indeed, but rather it was a condition of circumcision of heart, not just in the flesh. So we're familiar with those verses. And it was also brought out in the Revelation. And let's take a look back at this. Brother Dan, I'm going to ask you to read for us, please, Revelation 2 and verse 9, please. 2:9.
I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. So those who say they're Jews may be referring to the spiritual Jews or Christians. Those who make that claim are truly not of Israel or spiritual Israel, just as being brought out with the natural seed. Those who were of Abraham's seed thought they had the privileges just because they were born Jews. But Jesus said very clearly that that wasn't the case, that it was only those who had the faith of Abraham that were considered to be Israelites indeed. Over.
All right, very good. So with that, along that line, very well, the true Jews here in this verse would be similar to the wheat class, the spirit begotten. And those who are of the synagogue of Satan would be like the tares class. So they really aren't of God. Very good. And Brother Dan, could you also read similarly for us chapter 3, verse 9?
Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. So again, Brother Rick, just as you used the example of the wheat class and the tares class, those of the synagogue of Satan would be of the tares class, and although they believe and say they are Christians, they truly aren't. And we know that it's been from this class that the persecution has come to the true Christians throughout the gospel age. But ultimately, they will recognize the true church, and it won't be until the kingdom. And this last portion, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. They'll truly understand and know the saints of God, the true Jews or Christians, the 144,000 in the future. Over.
All right, very good. So, brethren, I hope that this is ground we covered last week. Let's hope we're all convinced that in our Revelation 7, these 12,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel is referring to spiritual Israelites, and that the 144,000 would be the spiritual seed of Abraham. Any question on that? Okay. So, now, where I'd like us to go today in the study is, now this sounds funny, I want to touch lightly on a number of scriptural lists that have to do with 12. I'd like us to touch on the 12 tribes of Israel, both in Ezekiel and in Revelation. I'd like us to touch on the 12 gates of the city, both in Ezekiel and Revelation. I'd like to touch on the 12 angels to the city and the 12 foundations to the city. And the 12 divisions of the land in Ezekiel. Now, the reason I say touch lightly is any one of the verses that we would read in this context could be the rest of the study. But joyfully, on Wednesday nights, we will get to those Ezekiel scriptures before long. And in Revelation, we'll get to these scriptures in probably a year. But nonetheless, these are all, they're all have a relationship to one another that is scripturally profound. A gate represents something. A place represents something. A foundation represents something. And the Lord has seen fit in his wisdom to use this number 12 to represent a number of different aspects of his plan, but there seems to be a certain fundamental element to this 12 that the brethren have always talked about as far back as I remember coming into the truth on Revelation 7. That's where we're going to focus. They take that 12 different divisions of these 12 tribes and they draw out a simple lesson. What are these 12 divisions? And that's what I want to ask. What's the simple lesson of these 12 divisions? Brother Dan and then Ruth.
Well, the simple lesson might be that there are 12 different character types in the world. And so in the kingdom, the 12 different character types that make up the 144,000, 12 times 12,000, will be able to instruct the world of mankind because they have a similar character type, and the experiences that we have will make us sympathetic towards the world of mankind and the struggles that they're going through as they try to overcome their fallen nature and make perfect character, if you will, up that highway of holiness. Over.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Ruth.
The same, but then I was going to associate it with 1 Corinthians 12 about the different parts of the body.
Go ahead, please.
Just that there's different parts of the body, different personality types and talents and abilities and perspectives. And so that these all represent that the body of Christ aren't all just going to be like clones of each other. They're all going to be different. And they're all going to have their own perspectives that would help them with the job ahead. Over.
All right, very good. So in the Lord's wisdom, it seems, not just from these verses in Revelation 7, but from these others that we'll consider, that it's reasonable to think of 12 basic divisions or personality character types amongst the human family. And because the Lord God wants to bring all of the human family who are willing and obedient up into a relationship with him in perfection and live forever, whether in the spirit realm or on the earthly realm, that's his goal. That's his plan. He has accommodated that he will provide those who will have the same and similar personality character distinctions so that they would then be best suited to assist those of similar personality or character. Brother Dan added the aspect of experiences, and the experiences are another feature that plays into this development. And quite often it is how we each respond to our experiences that helps shape our characters from just being our personality. Let me repeat that slowly a little differently. We can each have our personality. We each do have our personalities. Some people refer to it as ego. I I don't struggle with that. I'll just say personalities. And no, even after we consecrated our lives, we still have our personality. We still have the tendency of how we think and react, our emotional basis of what moves us. But by the Lord's grace, if we make the effort to learn of His ways from His Word, His Holy Spirit will affect and influence our personalities, and that will develop into our characters. So that the way we think, even though we have a personality tendency, we still have the power to exert the willpower under the influences of God's holy directions, that we can develop a character that would be a Christ-like or God-like character, but we will still retain our personalities. But that's a pleasing thing to God. When we look in nature, we see diversity. There's many plants, but we see diversity. There's many gemstones, we see diversity. And many animals, we see diversity. Even during amongst certain animal, like dogs or cats or something simple, we see a diversity. So this is pleasing to the Lord. So I'm just saying that at this point so far, and I'm going to say that sometimes a counterfeit helps demonstrate a reality. In other words, quite often Satan will introduce a counterfeit of something, a counterfeit of a truth, in order to try to obscure the truth. So we had the 1,000-year papal millennium. That was a counterfeit of the true millennium of Christ. And we're all familiar with that. So we think that the astrology with its 12 divisions is a counterfeit to the true proper divisions amongst mankind. And we are, Israel of old was warned to avoid getting involved with astrology. So we are getting involved with astrology. But what we're pointing out is that that is a counterfeit. That is a distraction, a distortion of what we think there is truth to. These 12 basic divisions of mankind's personality and character, which we think is part of our lesson here. So I'm going to just take a breath there. Does anyone have any comments or observations on what's been said so far? Okay, so let's develop this then to the next step, if you will. Let's turn to Revelation, the 21st chapter, Revelation 21. And Sister Alice, I'm going to ask you to read there, Revelation 21. And it's going to seem a little choppy, but could you start with verse 2? Well, one and two, sorry.
Okay. One and two. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Okay, opening comments on that, Sister Alice?
Well, the new heaven would be the kingdom, the millennium, and the first would be that was passed away would be the present evil world, and then let's see, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, that would be God's government, and actually the church, and as a bride adorned for her husband would be the church. That would be all I might say. Yeah.
Okay, Bill, that's very good. We appreciate that. Does anyone want to comment further on these verses? So then, Sister Alice, a little down a little further, could you then read verses 10 through, 10 and 11. Let's start with that.
Okay, 21:10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And this would be, the mountain is usually a government, but this is the highest. So it would be the kingdom, the government of Jesus and his church.
Perfect. Very good. Other comments on these verses. Now, here's where we want to, takes a little bit of patience, but put a bookmark here. And then Brother Mark Candle, I'd like you to read for us Ezekiel 40 and verse 2. Remember to mic up.
Okay, Ezekiel 40 verse 2. The visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain, which was as the frame of a city on the south.
So, Brother Mark, with what your sister just read and commented back in Revelation 21 about the new Jerusalem, here, what in this verse, what similarities are we seeing?
Well, you have the Ezekiel is brought up there, see it, and it's a very high mountain, and it includes the frame of a city like Jerusalem or something.
Very good. Doug, so a thought on the high mountain, a very high mountain?
Well, it would be the same as in Revelation, it would seem. Being the kingdom, which is above all other kingdoms.
And what does a city depict for us again?
Government.
Okay, very good. So, thank you. So, brethren, I just wanted us, when I say we're touching on things lightly, just to make connections. We're seeing that in Ezekiel, we get to see that in God's kingdom, the highest mountain, there is a city, there will be a government. And in Ezekiel, the focus is on the earthly phase of the government. There's a spiritual phase to the kingdom and the earthly phase to the kingdom. There's a northern spiritual phase and there's a southern earthly stage. And these things we know. So the emphasis in Ezekiel is primarily on the earthly phase, though the spiritual is included, because Ezekiel is showing the uplift of natural Israel and by extension the world of mankind as they become Israelites in that peaceable kingdom. But brethren, this is the beauty is then looking back in our Revelation 21 and we're recognizing that in the Revelation, it too is about the rehabilitation of natural Israel and by extension the world of mankind. However, it's showing us more particularly the spiritual phase of the kingdom and how this is to be accomplished. So just wanted to have us think of it in this fashion. The two work wonderfully together to bring out the picture. Any comments so far? So let's read a little bit further. Back in Revelation 21, and Sister Alice, I'll call on you again there. You got your mic open. Revelation 21 and verses 12 and 13.
21:12. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates.
Okay, very good. I know you're getting the lion's share of opportunities, Sister Alice, but you, we got great confidence in you. So what's your initial thoughts on these verses?
Well, doesn't it remind you of Ezekiel?
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
But, the, 12 gates, one of the comments is the ancient worthies from the various tribes will be the representatives through and the instrumentality through which the world will enter the blessings of the kingdom.
Okay. All right. Very good. Good start, Sister Sharon.
Yes, and then also the wall is represented in 1 Peter 2:5. It says, these walls signify salvation, protection, and blessing to all who enter. And the walls of salvation is also mentioned in Isaiah 60:18 as being protection and security in abiding. And then the 12 angels would be messengers. Those would seem to teach the Israel well in due time to be messengers to communicate the love and the knowledge of the Lord to all creation. So those are also ones that are also in the comments that aid to the understanding.
All right, very good. This is a good start. So let's say a few things here and let's build on this. We will look at Ezekiel about the gates. But let's see here that we have this city, this new Jerusalem, which is the church. It is the 144,000. And, it is like jasper stone or a diamond, clear as crystal, showing the clarity of the character development of the 144,000 because they have been found worthy to be sealed with the seal of the living God, as we've been reading in Revelation 7. They have a crystallized character, hardened, polished, refined, and they reflect all the spectrums of light of God's truth through their characters, which are godlike and Christlike. So they are this wall of the city. And a wall means protection, as being brought out in the comments. And a city itself is a government. And so what this suggests to us from our studies is this represents the new covenant arrangement by which the world of mankind will be able to come underneath or into the protection of that new covenant through the great mediator, which is the Christ, head and body, which is depicted by entering into the city through a gate. So a gate, it's a entrance, that's understood, but a gate also represents authority. It will allow someone to enter into the city. This demonstrates, as we studied our gates in Ezekiel, to the temple. That's different than the city. Keep that in mind. The gates to the temple are separate from the gates to the city. We're going to talk about that. These gates to the city, like the gates to the temple, show God's requirements for entrance, which is represented and held up by the Christ, the mediator, teaching the law of God for the new covenant arrangement. Just like Moses taught Israel the law of God for them to agree to enter into that old law covenant. So the antitypical Moses is the Christ. So as Moses taught Israel God's ways, so the Christ is teaching natural Israel and mankind God's ways in the future of how to enter into a relationship with him by coming up to the terms and requirements of the new law covenant arrangement. That's entering into the new Jerusalem city through these gates. There are 12 angels at these gates. Now, the gates have the names of the 12 tribes, but it doesn't tell us which tribes here. So it's a generic, as it were, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. But there are 12 angels. Now, we're looking for a differentiation what might be the 12 angels versus these 12 gates?
Just a guess is probably off, but connecting it with the 12 basic characteristics of mankind, there would be the angels or messengers. The 144,000 would be assisting those of the world of mankind, showing them the requirements of that, entering into that relationship with God, entering into the New Jerusalem, the peaceable kingdom on earth. Over.
Okay, that very well may be. I'm going to offer a different suggestion that's similar, though. Very similar. Sister Wincy? Oh, wait.
I was thinking 12 apostles, but I'm not sure that fit here.
Okay, thank you. Again, a good thought, but here's our distinction. I think we have the 144,000 shown in the walls. I think we have our 12 apostles shown in the 12 foundations, which we haven't read yet, upon which the walls sit. Our authority are the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, we haven't read those verses, so that's fair. But a gate is an entrance through, and the 12 angels show even a further instruction and authority. I'm going to suggest that, like, there's the 12 apostles for the church here. I think it might represent the 12. The 12 might represent the ancient worthies as the messengers for the church class to the world of mankind. And the gates, the 12 gates, are with the names of the tribe of Israel, are showing that everyone must become an Israelite indeed in order to enter in to the city. So you and I know, in fact, in one of our studies, we've been studying in Ezekiel, the 16th chapter. And you all remember that in Ezekiel 16, at the end of the chapter, God has a covenant with Judah by which they are going to then be given Sodom as a daughter. And we interpret that very clearly as it's showing that Israel will have the new covenant arrangement made with them, Jeremiah 31, new covenant made with Judah and with Israel. So there's the 12 tribes. And by extension, mankind has to become Israelites indeed in order to enter into that new covenant arrangement. They have to become Israelitish. Now, brethren, that's not hard to figure out, because you and I do that now. We talked earlier this hour how you and I are spiritual Israelites being grafted in because we have the right heart condition. We have a circumcision of heart. So we have faith like Abraham. So we're the spiritual seed. The world of mankind will have to become part of that natural seed by becoming Israelites indeed, not spiritual Israelites, but Israelites in the natural sense. And so they would become part of the earthly seed, part of the sand of the seashore. And you remember in Zechariah 8, I believe, it tells us that 10 men out of the nations will take hold of the skirt of he who is a Jew and say, we will go up with you because we will learn of God from you. That's a bad paraphrase. But it's demonstrating that the world will have to come to natural Israel under the guidance of the ancient worthies in order to have their approach unto God through the great mediator, the Christ. So these gates to the city with the 12 names of Israel, they're pointing in the four cardinal points of earth. On the north, the south, the east, the north, the south, and the west, the four cardinal points. And we keep referring to that in the Word of God as showing this is the complete opportunity for all mankind to have the privilege of entering into this new covenant relationship, enter into this new Jerusalem. But the way they enter is through becoming natural Israelites or Israelites in the flesh of the right heart condition to enter into that new covenant arrangement. They have to accept natural Israel's role in the kingdom as being that blesser nation. So we know, now here's a point, and I'm going to open this up for comments. We know that in Ezekiel's temple that we've been studying, there is no gates on the west, and the gate on the east are shut, so that you only have the gate on the north and the south that is available. And so our observation is the same. This is not the gates to the temple. We're talking about the gates to the city. And there are gates to the city in Ezekiel as well, which we'll consider in a moment. But before we leave these verses, I'll just open it up. Are there any comments so far? Ruth.
Well, it's not an equivalency, obviously, but it kind of brought to mind the angel that was there guarding the gate to the Garden of Eden so that they wouldn't return. So we have angels guarding the gates here to actually to welcome them back. But at the end of the chapter 27, Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So in a sense they're guarding it as to who's allowed to come in over.
That's an excellent point, and it shows God's standard. The angels represent God's standard. And the angel at Eden on the east side, and at the time that was the one way back to into Eden, only through the east. That's why the Lord put an angel at the east. He didn't have to put one on the north, west, or south, because there was no other entrance to Eden at the time. That's a picture. That's a picture. But the flaming sword is God's judgment of truth in accordance with his law, that he has fiery judgments of truth contained in his law, that those who violate and will not come into harmony with his laws will not be able to reapproach God. So as Ruth was bringing out, we are told here, you cannot reapproach God. You cannot come into the new covenant arrangement unless you pass the standards of righteous living that the word of God holds out as being acceptable to him. And all these other abominations and liars and murderers can't come in. That's a great thing. That's a great thing, because it means it's going to be beautiful, peaceful, loving, and joyful in the city. You're under the wall, you're within the walls of protection of the 144,000, and you can worship God in holiness. However, the opportunity is given for all to approach and enter. And that shows God's mercy. That shows the four cardinal points. All are welcome to come back as long as they are willing to submit themselves to the Lord's arrangement. Sister Sharon.
Yeah, two scriptures to add, I think, to your comment would be 3:19. Oh, yeah, let me see which book I'm in here. Hang on. I don't have the book of it. It's repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And then I wanted to parallel that with Psalm 72 with the river that's coming out, and that shows up in Revelation.
Acts.
There we go. Yes, it's Acts 3:19. And so then there it's talking about that your sins will be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And then when you parallel that with the river in Revelation, and then the river coming out of the temple as well, we have the scriptures, Psalm 72. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. So you can tie a whole lot of neat passages all together to symbolize that the conversion of the world in the times of restitution. Thank you.
Thank you. Brother Chris.
I don't want to jump ahead or anything or confuse them. It sounds like, if I'm following along, we haven't, is verse 12 there, the 12 gates? Can we look at verse 21 where it gives us a little bit more information? Are these the same? And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Are these verses associated? Because it seems like it is. I have it cross-referenced from the past. And to go along with what the comments have been saying, when you think of pearls, it made me think of Matthew 13, verse 45, where Jesus is given the parable of the merchant who's seeking goodly pearls. And when he's found it, he sells all that he had and purchases it. And I think we determined in our parable study that these pearls were consecrated. And so I think that goes along similarly with what the friends were saying, that these 12 gates, the way in is through a consecration. Of course, the church was consecrated first unto death, and they are the great wall of success. And then later, the world of mankind will all have to consecrate to righteousness. Are those thoughts in line with what we're saying here? Over.
Well, they're similar. And here again, these are just opinions. I don't want anyone to think I'm dogmatic on this. A pearl, we know, is formed from an annoyance in the oyster. It's usually the center is a grit of sand. It's annoying the oyster, and it puts these layers of pearl material over the annoyance, so it's not irritating. That's why the pearl is smooth. So my take on this is, and we're glad Brother Chris brought this out. And like, again, this is just a suggestion that the 12 gates are the same as natural Israel, representing the world of mankind, having their 12 divisions of character and experiences, which during this permission of evil has been an annoyance that they are then able to cover with pearl-like material to take that which was annoyance and make it a beautiful means of entrance into the new Jerusalem arrangement, the new covenant arrangement. So the very thing that mankind has been plagued with, inherited sin, will then be able to be turned and covered over with following the new laws and arrangements. And through their walking up that highway of holiness, they learn how to take those annoyances and turn it into a blessing. That's what you and I are trying to do with our experiences now. They are trials to us, but we're trying to make them a pearl-like experience, one that's beautiful in the end. And then we can help mankind learn how to do that. And so the 12 tribes of Israel represent the 12 divisions of personalities and characters of mankind at large. All have had their annoyances, but those who successfully enter the gate will be those who've learned how to coat them over their past permission of evil experiences of this life. They'll be able to coat it over with the beauty of understanding and character development to be a blessing in the future life. But it's true, too, the world of mankind will have to consecrate their lives. We've been seeing that in the Ezekiel temple discussion, that's connected, too. So maybe it's just all related, if you will. That's different aspects of the same lesson. Let's develop this a little bit more. And then, but Brother Chris, thank you very much for bringing that out, because that's very important. Let's see. Well, I picked on you two very long here. Sister Bessie, could you read in Revelation 21, could you read verse 14, please?
Verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
Okay, a comment on this, Sister Bessie, opening comment?
No, we see clearly that it's talking about 12 apostles of the Lamb after us, 12 names, so I cannot add anything else than this.
Okay, very good. Other
thank
comments?
You.
Thank you. Brother Dan.
Well, Brother Rick, this is the verse that now makes it plain that the walls represent the 144,000 because the foundation of the 144,000, of course, would be the 12 apostles of our Lord Jesus. So it makes it clearer to see that these walls represent the 144,000. Over.
All right, very good. Thank you. Ruth.
I just had a reference in Ephesians 2:20, 21. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. So it's the apostles and prophets that are the foundation.
Very good. Very good. Any other comments on this verse? Sister Cheryl.
Well, just thinking of Peter's name meaning rock, and didn't Jesus say upon this rock he'd build his church? So maybe another correlation. Over.
No, very good. Very good. And let's make Brother Dan.
There may not be any connection at all, Brother Rick, but I was just thinking of the foundation or top stone of the pyramid was only one, that was Jesus, and the 144,000 would conform to that one chief cornerstone. But here in this building, in the walls, we see that the entire church is pictured by the walls, and then especially by the foundation stones, 12 apostles of the Lamb. Over.
Okay, very good. No, we thank you. That's good. Let's see here. Sister Cheryl, could you read for us
Matthew 19:28. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So that's a great verse for showing our Revelation 7 verses that it's spiritual Jews, because the church that will sit upon the 12 thrones, they'll be judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Over.
Very good. Very good. So this is one of our connecting links of seeing how in God's wisdom, he saw that 12, which we can't help but understand that it's 3 times 4 is 12. 4 is this base cardinal number showing completeness in relationship to the church and to the world of mankind. 3 is this number that we, which the Lord has used so often to depict, his methodology. But the point in this is showing that there's 12 divisions of character and personality amongst all mankind. That the nation of Israel in the big picture depicts all mankind. The church, as represented by the 12 foundation stones, the foundations to the city of the 12 apostles, show that in the church there are 12 divisions of personality and character. So that in the Lord's wisdom, he's made the accommodation that you and I, if faithful, It's what our personality and the character that we make of our personality that God would approve and would be crystallized, that would then fit us for a place in the temple, yes, but in the city walls to be able to assist mankind. So that it's hard to imagine any other way for us to realize the breadth of God's wisdom, love, justice, and power, that the very church that he's developing is to have the character and personality and experiences which will best enable to bring a most successful result of assisting the world of mankind back into a relationship with him in the future. We're seeing it repeatedly in these pictures is what we're saying. Okay, I'll stop there. Let me just first ask, any comments here on this Matthew 19? Brother David.
And just like the characteristics of the ancient worthies, their description that they were rich in faith, and they didn't have the Holy Spirit at the time, but it would make them fit teachers also for the world of mankind. Over.
That's true. I like the thought that there'd be one for all the 144,000, but that would be yet to be seen. Nonetheless, the 12 angels at the 12 gates, representing possibly the ancient worthies, would fit well as a nice summation, even as there's 12 foundation stones of the apostles for the 144,000 of the church, the wall that sits on those foundations. So 12 can represent a basis for a broader number. Because actually the 12 apostles are part of the 144,000. But they're the foundation, they're highlighted. Okay. Brother Chris, please.
Just to bring in type and antitype, the Lord has obviously married the 12 tribes of Israel with the 12 apostles of the Lamb, but where the tribes represented the type and shadows, this verse in Revelation 21:14 kind of shows the 12 foundations being the apostles of the Lamb having the preeminence, because that really is the gospel foundation that Jesus began and was followed up by his followers over.
No, right on. I want to emphasize, bouncing off that comment by Brother Chris, I want to emphasize a lovely lesson, at least from my perspective. How much do you and I know about the 12 apostles? Well, about four or five of them we know somewhat. We know Peter. We know Paul. We know James a bit. We know John. We might know a little bit about Thomas. A few more. But there's some that we just have their name in a list. So, brethren, we should find that very encouraging. If you and I aren't outspoken, outgoing, kind of dramatic characters, ones who are doing great works that can be seen, not that that's wrong. I mean, you know, we have those in our midst. Even Brother Russell talks about those who are more out front, as it were. That's their body member position that Ruth was bringing out earlier. And Brother Russell has that manna comment about the Apostle Paul. We're not all going to be Apostle Pauls, but look, who was behind him was Priscilla and Aquila, who were supporting him. Well, brethren, out of the 144,000, probably the majority are going to not be very well known. They're not bigger than life type of figures. They aren't ones who have just been out front, so to speak. But they have every bit as important a role to play in God's plan, because he knows that their personality or their character experiences are every bit as necessary for that 1/12th division of mankind who will need that assistance walking up the highway of holiness. So if you're ever feeling that you know, you don't have any particular role to play, or what are my talents or whatnot, even one talent has a special blessing of usefulness. Brother Michael.
Yeah, Brother, I think it's interesting that you brought up the fact that we don't know the remaining apostles. Because when we were looking at Romans 16 last week in our study, in a class study in Toronto, what came out was all the greetings that Paul sent out to the various names. You know, it's interesting that he brought out those names, which we probably would never have known of if he had not listed them. And we know that, you know, in a lot of ways, the personalities that we have in each ecclesia, in each, as a member of the body of Christ, is fitly represented to represent the world of mankind because of the kingdom work that is going to happen. You know, so it's just a thing of beauty to think about how the Lord has made providence for the various personalities, the various types of persons that could potentially be needed in the restoration work of the kingdom.
Very good and absolutely. Very good and absolutely. Let's jump off to another connecting link. I'm seeing our time go by here. Forgive me if I'm not catching everybody, but if we don't make these, like I say, we're touching them lightly. If we don't make some of these connecting links, it'll be hard to recreate. Let's look at Ezekiel 48. And, Brother Dan, I'll have you read there, Ezekiel 48. And, please read 1 through 8. Let me double check my notes just for time's sake here. Let's do that. 1 through 8, please.
Now these are the names of the tribes from the north end to the coast of the way of Hethlon, as one goeth to Hamath, Hazar Enan, the border of Damascus, northward to the coast of Hamath, for these are the sides east and west, a portion for Dan. And by the border of Dan, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Asher. And by the border of Asher, from the east side, even unto the west side, a portion for Naphtali. And by the border of Naphtali, from the east side unto the west side, a portion of Manasseh. And by the border of Manasseh, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Ephraim. And by the border of Ephraim, from the east side, even unto the west side, a portion for Reuben. And by the border of Reuben, from the east side, unto the west side, a portion for Judah. And by the border of Judah, from the east side, unto the west side, shall be the offering which ye shall offer of 25,000 reeds in breadth and in length at one of the other parts, from the east side unto the west side, and the sanctuary shall be in the midst of it.
All right. Thank you, Brother Dan. Let me take a break here for a moment. Brethren, if you can look at this, I didn't bother to get a screenshot up. If you pin my, maybe I can even make it easier if I do, well, if this is all right. Look at Brother Chris has got it up for you. There you go. This is better. And I don't have to try to peek around my book. What Brother Dan just read for us are the land divisions in the peaceable kingdom. This is there'll probably be a literal aspect, but more importantly, the symbolic aspect. The verses told us we started at the north, or at the top of that picture, with the tribe of Dan. The measurements are interesting because it says from east to west, east to west. It's showing that the tribes in the land of Israel, they are stacked. Brother Dan just read seven names. then we see there's a center portion of the land area, which in that is the city. And in the city is the temple. And around the city and the temple area, there is land for the priests, the Levites, and the princes. The little flock, great company, and the ancient worthies. And then we see five more land divisions south of that city. Now, just with what we read, and if you hadn't read this in a long time in Ezekiel, which we certainly aren't surprised, let's rattle off the names that we just read, the first seven. We've got Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Ephraim, Reuben, and Judah. Now, before we read the other five, what is distinct, what jumps out at us in this list as compared to the list of tribes in Revelation 7 that we read? What's the distinction that jumps out? Ruth, and then Brother Mark.
Well, one of the things I see is you have Dan and you have Manasseh.
Okay, we don't have Manasseh back in Revelation?
Oh, I can't remember. I thought maybe Manasseh was gone. Okay, never mind.
There's another one that's gone. Who's the other one? Who's his brother?
Ephraim?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry. But you have Dan anyway.
So Dan and Ephraim are missing in Revelation 7. Sister Cheryl taught us that last week. But they're included here. Let me take a breath. Brother Mark, your comments? Nope. Okay, similar. All right, good. You might remember last week we made an observation that just because Dan and Ephraim are missing in our Revelation 7, we're not to think that they always depict something bad or negative. Because they are included here. So you and I aren't surprised. Sometimes Moses has depicted something bad when he smote the rock twice, saying, "Must we bring water out of this rock for you rebels?" He represented the second death class. He wasn't allowed to enter the land. But on the other hand, as we mentioned earlier, Moses depicted the great mediator, the Christ. So it's the context in which we would consider it. So Sister Cheryl, I know you're busy reading. In Revelation 7, last week, you pointed out a lesson, a symbolic lesson of the missing tribes. You want to repeat that for us?
Well, we would think Ephraim represents the great company and Dan the second death class. And I was thinking about that as we were trying to find scriptures that would show that Dan did represent that, because I always like to think I would have a scripture for someone who would ask me. Really, the most obvious would probably be the Revelation verse, because it's the servants of God sealed in their forehead. They're servants, but Dan isn't represented. So apparently that class missed the boat. Over.
That's right. That's where they were judged down. And that's true. And Ephraim, doubly fruitful, shows the large group of a great multitude. And last week we looked at that verse in Genesis about Jacob's prophecy that Dan would be like that serpent biting the horse hoofs that would throw the rider off backwards, showing a negative depiction there. But nonetheless, here, it's a positive. Let's finish this, and then let's finish this little bit of reading, and then we'll talk about what this might represent. And so, Brother Dan, could you continue in Ezekiel 48 and read for us 23 through 29, please? 23 through 29.
As far as the rest of the tribes from the east side onto the west side, Benjamin shall have a portion, and by the border of Benjamin from the east side unto the west side, Simon shall have a portion.
Simon, yes.
And by the border of Simon, from the east side unto the west side, Issachar, a portion. And by the border of Issachar, from the east side unto the west side, Zebulun, a portion. And by the border of Zebulun, from the east side unto the west side, Gad, a portion. And by the border of Gad, at the south side, southward, the border shall be even from Tamar unto the waters of strife in Kadesh and to the river toward the great sea. Continue?
No. Oh, sorry. 29.
This is the land which ye shall divide by lot unto the tribes of Israel for inheritance, and these are their portion, saith the Lord God.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Dan. Do you have a comment on what's being discussed here?
Well, I wish I did have more of a comment, but you know, it shows the division of the land in I think the kingdom as the restitution picture of Israel, picturing the world of mankind. They will be restored to perfection and gain life. And we see in the middle, of course, is the temple, the city, and the temple. And it's through the Levites, the 144,000. It's through the priests, the 144,000, and the great company and the princes that these blessings will be apportioned, for lack of a better word, to the world of mankind who are represented by these 12 tribes. Over.
Thank you, Brother Dan. And so, again, we're touching lightly. Brother Dan has covered it well. But these 12 land divisions of Israel, again, as he said, are demonstrating restored mankind back to their perfection after they've walked up the highway of holiness with their 12 divisions of personality and characters. And Dan and Ephraim are included. So we just take a lesson that along this earthly line, that there's personality and experience traits that they have or represent, which are going to be a beautiful lesson for mankind in the future. Now, holding that there, we got to make another quick, touch lightly connection to round out the study today. And so, Sister Gina, could we ask you to read in Ezekiel 48? We're going to ask you to read 30 through 34.
And these are, sorry, what's that word?
Egresses.
And these are the egresses of the city. On the north side, 4,500 reeds by measure. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel, 3 gates northward, the gate of Reuben 1, the gate of Judah 1, the gate of Levi 1, and at the east side, 4,500 reeds and 3 gates, even the gates of Joseph 1, the gate of Benjamin 1, the gate of Dan 1, and at the south side, 4,500 reeds by measure and 3 gates, the gate of Simeon 1, the gate of Issachar 1, the gate of Zebulun 1, and at the west side, 4,500 reeds with their gates, the gate of Gad 1, the gate of Asher 1, the gate of Naphtali 1.
Okay, very good. So, any opening comment on this, Sister Gina?
Well, it looks like there were a couple more names mentioned. I think Joseph was in there, and he wasn't in the first part. I don't know what that means, but and what else? I'm not sure, but it brings out each time the 4,500 reeds. but I'm not sure. I have no idea what that means.
Okay, so you did well. There are changes here, and that's a study. But touching it lightly, here are gates. And what do the gates represent for us again?
Well, they're entrances. I'm sure that's all I can think of right now.
Okay. So, brethren, just for time's sake, bear with me. The gates into the city depicted in Ezekiel gives us the names of the tribes of Israel. Our gates to the city of the New Jerusalem in Revelation 21 does not give us the specific tribal names, says the 12 tribes of Israel. What we see is, as there's 12 gates, three on each of the four sides. In Revelation 21, Brother Chris brought us to a verse that says the gates on one side were like of one pearl, showing again that similar lesson, that the peculiar personality and character and experiences in these 12 basic divisions for mankind all have their irritating factors during this permission of evil. Primarily, each one has inherited sin from Adam and everything related to that. But if they walk successfully up that highway of holiness, they can enter in through these gates and turn it into these irritations of sin. They can overcome it, and it then becomes a pearl of great value and beauty, smooth and lovely, and it reflects light. A pearl reflects light, not like a gemstone, because it's not a gemstone. That's the beauty of the lesson of a pearl. Took something irritating and made it beautiful. So, brethren, again, we're not doing this justice. We're not going to all the different tribal possible personality traits they represent and why the differences in all the lists, because there are differences as brought out. But we just wanted to see that there are similarities in Ezekiel and in the Revelation that work together and help us to interpret Ezekiel better by understanding what we do from the Revelation. And we're looking for the symbolic lessons in both. Yet they dovetail nicely, and that helps us interpret the book of Revelation. So in our Revelation, the seventh chapter that we've been discussing, I'll call you in a second, Michael, what we find is that the two tribes missing, Dan and Ephraim, we're only interpreting it there as these two classes that weren't successful to become of the 144,000. We're not taking those two tribes then and seeing them in a negative light everywhere else. We just view each of these lists in their own independent characteristics. Okay, Brother Michael.
So it's just a question. I'm not sure I understand what the gates represents in Revelation. I know you said this is not supposed to be a deep study, but just help me understand. So the reason why they don't have names in Revelation versus Ezekiel is because?
I think Ezekiel gives us the names.
Right, I understand. But I thought maybe there was a thought process as to why they were not represented with names in Revelation. Did you have any thinking on what that, why that could be?
Just that the point of clarification in Revelation is, I think it's demonstrating that the nation of Israel will be the means by which the rest of the world of mankind will have access to entering into the new covenant arrangement by becoming Jews indeed. What I mean by that is the new covenant is made with natural Israel, Jeremiah 31. So we say the world of mankind are going to have to become Jewish converts, basically, in this sense.
Right.
And it really represents a circumcision of heart. But the 12 divisions just represent, again, these 12 basic character attributes of mankind. And to my way of thinking, The four cardinal points is all inclusive for everyone around the world, and that all will have, no matter what kind of personality or character or experiences they had, the Lord has made an arrangement in the spirit realm through the 144,001, through the ancient worthies, the 12 angels, and through the natural seed of Israel, that as the natural seed is rehabilitated, they will then be a blessing to their fellow man, because they too will then become teachers to the rest of mankind to come to them. I don't know if that's helpful or useful or not, but that's all I have to offer at this time. Any other comments on Brother Michael's question? Ruth?
Well, I was wondering if Revelation 21 gives us more of a spiritual lesson on the city coming down from God out of heaven. Because in verse 22, Revelation 21:22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So it's focusing on the symbolic, whereas Ezekiel 40, it's more like from the earthly perspective. So that might be why it mentions the 12 tribes at the gate. Just a thought.
Well, that's certainly true. That's part of the emphasis, is Ezekiel shows more on the earthly phase of the kingdom and the Revelation more on the spiritual phase of the kingdom. But they are two parts of the same kingdom. All right. Very good. Brother Michael, anything on your question? Any comment?
No, I just need to do further study on this. Thank you.
All right. Very good. So brethren, we're close here. We will come back to our Revelation 7 next week, Lord willing. Thank you for letting me, talk as much to try to draw these various connecting links together for us to have marinating in our minds. And then when we come to these various verses in Ezekiel and in Revelation, we've got some background to work with.